information America's farmers and ranchers need to know. Adams on Agriculture. Now back to Mike Adams.
We have made our phone connection to Hong Kong. With us now is Joel Haggard, Senior Vice President for the Asia Pacific region for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Joel, thanks for joining us.
Sure, happy to.
Hey, we've got some really some exciting news to talk about when it comes to our meat exports to the Philippines. That's become quite a market, hasn't it?
It sure has. We've been watching the market for decades, actually, but we're getting into some record export numbers there as that economy is just really pumping along. And that means more meat consumption. And in terms of some of the normal meat access issues we've had, it's been pretty quiet, so it's humming along nicely.
How big of a market is that Philippines market, and what's the potential for continued growth there?
Well, sure. Let me put it in perspective. So the Philippines took about a little over $200 million of beef, U.S. beef and pork last year. And if you add in the poultry, it adds up to about $250 million. So that ranks number nine kind of on our list if you place it and rank our exports by value. So that's behind Colombia, China, and Taiwan, but it's in that top 10. And last year was our fastest growing top 10 market in terms of value. So it's one we're watching closely.
What meat products, what cuts are popular in the Philippines?
Well, the Philippines is an interesting market because it has demand from the small segment of the wealthy population for the real top-end cuts. That could be USDA chilled prime steak cuts. But then the mass of the market, most of the volume, are price-sensitive meats, beef, Indian buffalo meats, pork variety meats that go into further processing. Because the Philippines has a very sophisticated meat processing industry, which turns this imported raw material into very inexpensive items like hot dogs and formed ham and bacon. And that price point to the consumer, because the per capita income in the Philippines is still quite low, it is a price-sensitive market. So most of the imports are, I would say, more inexpensive items.
Who are our competitors in that market, and what's our advantage there?
Yeah, well, boy, it's one of those markets where everyone has access. So in the Philippines, you see Indian buffalo meat, you see Brazilian beef, all kinds of European pork. Again, at the high end, you have the Australian grain-fed Wagyu competing with our upper choice and prime cuts. Canada's very strong as a pork supplier. In terms of items, for us, the pork variety meat categories really performed well. And those are items such as livers, jowls, masks, diaphragm, meat, and cheeks. So it's a thing that we like to export because we don't consume those much at home.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Joel Haggard. He's Senior Vice President for the Asia-Pacific region for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. So, Joel, the Philippines is a really good market for our U.S. meat products. What are some other key markets that you're working in there in that Asia-Pacific region that we should be watching closely?
Well, with all the trade skirmishes going on in the northern part of Asia, our federation has really kind of doubled down on our coverage in Southeast Asia. So Vietnam is a market we're watching very closely. As everyone knows, it has African swine fever, which is hitting at a time of very high pork prices and low supplies anyway. So Vietnam hasn't been a large meat and poultry importer in the past, but it's definitely trending up now. And then also Indonesia is a very interesting beef market. It's got a massive population and one that we think for the long term is going to be one of those really stellar markets. And then interestingly, the United States exports close to $250 million of pork to Australia, and that just seems to be growing.
You mentioned African swine fever. We know what we hear of the situation in China, and that disease continues, seems to spread, and you mentioned that reports of it in Vietnam. Do we have any indication? Is this thing close to being under control, or is it still concerned that it could spread more?
Well, we were reading some releases today out of Vietnam. The Vietnam authorities are very concerned about the outbreak spreading down to its southern region. So Vietnam's a very long country that runs from north to south. But kind of the heart of the consumption pool and the heart of the producers are down in that southern region. So they are very concerned about it migrating down to the south.
So as you do market development work, I mean, it must be almost refreshing anytime you have a market that you can work in that doesn't have the tariffs and the trade issues that we have in other parts and other markets. If you get a market that doesn't have all that, how much easier does that make your work?
Oh, a lot easier. But think about it from the perspective of an exporter, because the exporters are the ones that are really facing risk from trade barriers that may pop up suddenly. The Philippines, I have to say, we've had our issues over the years. They have a very vocal pork industry that would like to see imports more controlled. But thank goodness in the last couple years, importers have had a fairly easy time clearing product.
There are always issues. There are always challenges in any market, right?
Absolutely. We have issues in every market we deal in, from small to big issues. but the Philippines, again, I think maybe the politicians and certainly the people, they rely on that inexpensive imported raw material. It's really kind of a lifeblood for the protein sector, and that protein sector is really important to the population.
I'm always amazed when I look at the overall numbers of our meat exports, even with the trade tensions and trade wars and the tariff issues, we still move a lot of product, and those numbers continue to go up.
I know. It's really amazing. Today we're talking about our beef exports to China. I was in China earlier today, and even with 37% duty, I was speaking with an importer last night, and they have customers that are willing to pay the extra. Are they complaining? Yes, they're complaining about the price, but their customers like it. So when you have customers that want the product, especially something like high-quality beef that's really not available from other countries, they'll pay more for it.
So what do your people there in China say? I mean, if they're buying, if they're willing to buy even with the tariffs and pay the extra, what would that mean if those tariffs come off about the market potential there? What could we see?
Well, we see incredible pork demand and beef demand. China just released its first 2 months of import data, and the beef imports, they're just skyrocketing. And this is on a very large base already. The country imported over 200,000 tons of beef in 2 months, so it's just unprecedented. 15 years ago, probably would have been 2,000 tons. So it's just phenomenal, the demand there. And the tariffs are really important because we compete in these markets. And we with that tariff disadvantage, we are we're an expensive protein.
So in other words, the demand is there. It remains to be seen who's going to fill that demand. And with the tariffs in place, it makes it harder for us to be the supplier when someone else can do it maybe for less cost than we can.
Yes, absolutely. We have, for example, in China, we're faced 62% duty on pork, while others are paying 12% on beef. We face a 37% duty, while Australia is paying 6%. So that's a wide gap to overcome. So, but if those duties come down, I think we'll really see some tremendous numbers.
Joel, thanks for the update. It's always interesting to hear what you're finding out there on the ground and in these countries, and what's being said and what's being worked on, and the impact that it's having on our exports. Thank you for the update.
Thank you.
Joel Haggard, Senior Vice President for the Asia-Pacific region for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. I always find it interesting when we can talk to those people on the ground in these other countries that we're doing business with and trying to do more business with.